I understand, honey, you got a headache, but you've had a headache 12 times this month. She said, "That's my sister." And then another one. It's another one. You don't need to remember these. My dad always used to do it this way, but you won't do it the way my dad did it. My mom used to always make my favorite dish, and you don't ever make it. Can we fit that in there? Sometimes offenses get so hard you can't even crowd them all in. So now what has happened? Where you used to have a free and open communication, now all your little offenses has built a fence between you. Right? All right, you guys can sit down, but don't go far because I'm going to call you back. See, that fence was not built all at once. It was built a little offense undealt with at a time. The closer the relationship, the greater the opportunity for offense, but also the greater opportunity for intimacy. Did you know nobody can make me mad or hurt me as much as Pam? Nobody. But also nobody can make me feel more secure and more loved than Pam. How can a couple get to this place? It's one little unresolved offense at a time. Solomon said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. If Satan came at Jonas full on, said, "I want you to go chase this woman and have an affair," he'd defeat that easy. But if he can build up little bitty offenses, he might be successful. Unmet expectations is the breeding ground for offense. Unexpressed expectations are just as bad. Men say stuff because they're stupid. They usually don't really mean to offend or hurt. They're just not thinking. They just don't think about what they're saying. Women seem to like shopping. It's like therapy to them. My wife likes that too, but she does it a little different from other people. She loves to get an Amazon delivery every day. She gets so excited when the truck comes down the driveway. Now, to me, every time that truck pulls down the driveway, it's an enemy tank coming to blow up our finances. And I'll say to her, I say, "How much did that cost?" She never, ever, ever tells me how much it cost. She'll never say, "Is $200 or is $100. She'll say, "Oh, it wasn't that much." She'll say, "I got it on sale. I saved so much money with this." Our basement is full of 10-year-old things that we're going to need someday. Now, I would sell it all. We've had one yard sale, I think, in 20 years. Part of the problem is when we have the yard sale, and we always agree we should have a yard sale, but when we have the yard sale, she puts it out. If somebody comes and tries to Jew her down, she's like, "It's not for sale anymore." At least not to you. She gets offended that people try to talk down her already low prices. And I'm like, "Let's just sell the junk." We're wired totally different that way. If you should see the triumph in her voice and on her face when she brings something up from the basement that we finally need. See? If I had gotten rid of this, we wouldn't have it now. And I'm like, well, we could go buy another one. Praise God. I think I'm still okay, aren't I, dear? Country preacher said, before marriage, opposites attract. After marriage, opposites attack. When Pam and I drive, years ago, there was a time that I would drive. When I would drive, we would both drive. And so one day, we were both driving down the road. I was behind the wheel, but we were both driving down the road. And so finally, I pulled over, parked the car, got out of my car, walked around to the passenger's door, opened the door, and I said, you're driving now. So she got out, and she went and sat in the driver's seat. I got in the passenger seat, and we went on our merry way. And for the past 20 or 30 years, whenever you see us going somewhere, she's the one that's driving. You know what? I got no macho thing about the man's got to drive. I don't even like to drive that much. I'm happy for her to drive. I could be offended, but I'd rather have peace. Amen? So we work through our dysfunction. And it works just fine. When I make a mistake, it's an accident. But to her, it's carelessness. To me, it was an accident a week or two ago when that tree in our yard moved and hit my bumper. But she thinks I was just careless. We had this early on, and this blew my mind. I didn't know what was happening. She would get upset about the dishes all the time. And I was like, what in the world? This is way out of proportion. Come to find out, she said, in my house growing up, Dad always dried the dishes. Mom washed them, Dad dried the dishes, and that was their time to talk about their day. Well, in my house, doing the dishes was a punishment. See, I can do dishes, but it doesn't make me feel chummy or chatty. And we have a dishwasher. So God worked us through that with no offense taking root. Do you know how many stupid things I've said and done in 45 years? At least 5. Might be 10. But the truth is, I can't remember most of them because they're gone. Of course, she remembers them all because she's a woman. And women have an amazing ability to remember every detail of their version of everything. Listen to this. Offense is an event. Being offended is a decision that goes against the very nature of your salvation. Amen. The receptivity of the soil of your heart determines the germination of the seeds of offense. I got a little bit more to share. Can you all hang with me? Thirdly, what happens if you don't deal with offense? If you don't. Here's what will happen. It'll grow a root of bitterness and ruin not only your life, but everyone around you. You cannot properly connect with God or other people if you have a root of bitterness. Long before something happens in your life, it happens in your heart. What starts in the heart does not stay in the heart. It will show in your speech, your attitude, your face, and your conduct. But Pastor, you do not understand how wounded I am. I was rejected in my mother's womb. So many have hurt me so bad. My father did this. My mother didn't do that. My pastor said this. My best friend betrayed me. My wife did that. My husband wouldn't do that. And on it goes. And I want to tell you, there's some serious and legitimate things like that. You may have a reason, but you do not have a legitimate excuse. Let me say that again. You may have a reason. It may be a good one. Everybody you know might say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you have no excuse for keeping offense. Offense is like a tumor. Let's see. It's like a tumor. It disfigures you. When somebody touches it, you way, way overreact. What they did was too big, Pastor. I just can't forgive it. I would have never what they did what they did to anybody. So, you've done things to other people, maybe not the same thing, but you've offended other people. Not only that, you've offended a holy God. It's so easy to see how we've been offended and overlook how we offend. If God dropped the charges against you, what offense is there in the entire universe that you can legitimately hold on to? Forgiveness didn't just flow to you from Jesus. It flows through you to others. Well, Pastor, it's just too big. That's all the more reason to get rid of it. Or you're going to carry it around. Well, I can't. Time will heal it. No, you'll die with it, maybe of it, if you don't get rid of it. I'll do it when they apologize. You ever notice we're always waiting on somebody else to take the first step? I got a clue for you. If you take the first step, you're the more spiritual one. Won't do any good. They'll just do it again. Even more reason to get rid of it. At least you get rid of the one tumor you have and you can handle another one. Otherwise, you're going to just be loaded up with tumors. Well, I just can't. I just can't. Okay? Are you prepared for God to not forgive you? Come on. You ready for that? Luke 17:3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Mark 11:26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. He didn't mince words on that. He didn't give other options. If you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. But I'm a Christian. If you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. Whether you're a Christian or a pagan. There is no offense in heaven. Are you prepared to stay out of heaven so you can feed and nurse your offense? The enemy wants you mad at God, mad at people, and even mad at yourself. But the Bible says in Acts 14:22, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. Remember the movie Black Hawk Down? Who's seen that movie? If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to. It's about a real event that happened in Somalia where a Black Hawk helicopter was shot down and they sent in a rescue force to find survivors and all that kind of thing. As soon as they got in there, thousands of the enemy surrounded this squad of Marines or Rangers, I think they were, and begin shooting them up. And so they were just under withering fire. Everybody was getting shot, and they got into this building. And I mean, the gunfire was coming strong, and they knew it's just going to be a short time before all the RPGs started coming in, and they were all dead. And so the captain says to the lieutenant, "Get in the truck and drive. We've got to get out of here or we're going to die." The lieutenant said back to him, "But captain, I can't. I've been shot." I love the captain's response. He said, "We've all been shot. Shut up, get in the truck and drive. If we stay where we are, we're all going to die." Amen. I know when we get offended, we think that our offense is the greatest thing in the world, but I'm here to tell you, we've all been shot. We're all wounded. We all got stuff to deal with. But if we just sit there and don't deal with it, we're going to die. All of us. Doesn't matter if you die together, you're still dead. You got to get up and move and do something about it. Here's my last thing. So how do I deal with offense? I need my couple back. All right. I want each one of you to pick up a plank, just like you had it in the beginning. And whenever you hear me say the word drop, first you drop, and the next time I say it, you drop one, okay? All right. So here's how you deal with the fence. Drop it. Let it go, Elsa. Drop it. Every time you hear the word drop, "I can't." Yes, you can. And if you don't, you're choosing to stay in your prison. "Pastor, it's just not that easy." You got to learn to drop it. Not suppress it, not bury it, but after the conversation, let it go and drop it. Wow, they're dropping things together. That's good. You can't always control what's handed to you, but you can decide if you're going to hold on to it or drop it. Good job. You need to drop your right to be offended. Just one of you. Drop your right to be offended. Drop your right to pay back. Look at that. They tore down the whole fence. You can go back. Give them a good hand. Romans 12:19, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Anything anybody's got coming to them, God knows exactly how to do it. And he will do it perfect. And you will always screw it up if you try to do it. You'll never do it right. You'll hurt people you didn't intend to hurt. Don't take the bait in the first place, but if you do, just drop it. The devil sets us up to get us upset. And here's one more thing. Take responsibility for being offended instead of making it everybody else's responsibility to not offend you. God gives you self-control. There is no gift called other control. You will never be free from any problem as long as you're blaming others for it. You can be free no matter what they do. Psalm 119:165. "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." King James says, "Nothing will offend them." Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and preaching forward to those which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For those who are getting offended about me preaching long, I got one more thing to say. If you have an offense that has developed a root, it has become a root of bitterness and embitters all your outlook and all, I emphasize all, your relationships. Even those unrelated to the original offense. If you don't take care of it when it's just a seed on the surface, it will become increasingly hard to dig it out, and at some point it will take over and become who you are, and you will live a miserable life and maybe even miss heaven. But Pastor, my hurt is legitimate. You don't know what they did. Let me ask you this. Did they flog you with a cat of nine tails? Did they mock you? Did they spit on you? Did they beat you to within an inch of your life? Did they crucify you on a cross? Did they kill you? If not, you have no case. If you're in Christ, would you bow your heads? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful group of people. I thank you, O God, that you have indeed redeemed us and you are helping us work through our issues and turning our dysfunction into function. And I pray right now in Jesus' name, God, that you would bring healing balm into every heart. Before I say something else, is there anyone in this room that you've never given your life to Jesus? You've never been born again and you want to give your heart to Jesus today? Would you raise your hand? He loves you so very much and he wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. And that's done simply by you repenting of your sins and putting your faith in Christ. It's easy. He'll receive all who come to him. But you do have to come. Anybody in the room? Okay, then my assumption is that they're believers in this room. Everyone's a believer. We've all had different things happen to us. Some have scarred us horribly. Some we're still sitting in the juices of that offense. It's eating us alive. Can I tell you, beloved, that God wants to set you free from that prison? Maybe it's become a root of bitterness, and I'm going to speak to that next week. But right now, you can make a choice not to allow offense to get down into the soil of your heart. If you've been offended in any way, please drop it. Please let it go. You don't want where it's going to take you. Raise your hands to the Lord with me, just between you and the Lord. Just keep your eyes closed so you don't have to look at other people. And say, Lord, I release all offenses to you. I choose to forgive. I choose to release. Flow through me by your Holy Spirit. Cause my inner man to be sweet. Cause me to model you to this lost and dying world. Thank you that it's not about me, but it's about you. And I release all offense. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to conclude this service by coming to the Lord's table. I'll be happy to pray with anyone at the end of this service, but The way we're going to do it today is we've got the juice inside another cup and the bread is in the other cup. So you just have to pick one. So I'm going to invite you, I think you can still, yeah, if you could move the planks, to come down the center aisle and go back that way. Or you can find you a place around the altar on the front to sit before the Lord. And we're going to take together. You need not be a member of this church. You just need to know Jesus. So as Margie sings for us, you just go ahead and come and take your portion. And we'll eat together, drink and eat together at the end. Go ahead.
Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust You, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that You are with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust You, how I've proved You o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust You more.
Let's sing that chorus together. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. You know, every time we come to the Lord's table, it's a time for us to examine our hearts and examine our relationships with other people, examine our relationship with the Lord. I want to admonish you today. Jesus has already unlocked your prison door. I want to encourage you to push the door open and walk out. It doesn't take any kind of Herculean effort. You just have to do it by faith. So, Scripture says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. Did you catch that? On the same night in which He was betrayed. Nobody was more offended than Jesus. Nobody was more betrayed than Jesus. So whatever you want to stack up against that, you can't stack it high enough. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let's eat together. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." Let's drink together. Father, we thank You for the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. We thank You that though our faults are many, Your blood washes away every stain. God, that You love us and receive us, regardless of how we've betrayed You. And so we release all our offenders, Lord. We pray right now for Crystal Murphy, who we baptized not long ago, who's in the hospital and needs a serious touch to her body. We ask that You would touch her, Lord. But God, I also pray that You touch the far more serious maladies that dwell in the hearts of people who have gotten a root of bitterness and can't seem to let it go, can't seem to get past it. God, I pray in Jesus' name that this very week You would pull it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. Like I said, I'll pray with anybody that wants to at the end of the service. But I'd like to pray over you before you go. And I want to encourage you, if you are one of those people who you still wrestle with what I'm talking about today, and you probably have a root of bitterness and unforgiveness, number one, make sure you don't miss next week. Number two, listen to this message several times before next week and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. God wants you out of prison. That's His will for you. And you can be. And let me say one more thing. I can't pray a root of bitterness out of you. Nobody can. Nobody's going to pray it out of you. You can get rid of it. I'm going to share with you how to get rid of it next week. I'd share now, but everyone would rebel and be offended at me. So, Father, I pray over Your people, God. I thank You that You have given us so much grace, unbelievable grace. God, give us the ability to let that grace flow through us to a lost and hurting and miserable world. In Jesus' name. And the church said,
Amen.
Have a great day. See